Hello, everyone, and welcome to NorCal Narratives, broadcasting on KPCR 92.9 Pirate Cat Radio, your space to meet the people and the ideas shaping our community and beyond. I'm Tanya Long, and today we have a very special guest whose story and work speak directly to the heart of what it means to live fully and love deeply. So Megan Lambert is an author. She's a coach. She's a speaker, and she is the creator of the Los Gatos Mama's Circle that happens this Thursday evening, 5 o'clock in Los Gatos. We'll talk a lot more about that. Can't wait to roll up our sleeves and dig in with Megan. She's the author of the best-selling book, Eros, The Journey Home. Also, she has a pretty deep podcast called Eros Mama. So a lot of her focus is on motherhood, love. And we're going to dig into that definition of Eros and her being a passionate advocate for creating spaces where women, and especially mamas, can explore their stories. So, Megan, welcome to the show. It is such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. It is such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm thrilled. You have a background. You've lived multiple lives, and you're not an older adult. But you were a consultant, and then you were a retreat leader in Bali. I've mentioned you're a best-selling author. Now you have 2 children under the age of 5, if I recall. So what was the thread that connected all those resets for you?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think sometimes when I'm in the moment, I'm just following the pulse of aliveness or desire. Yes. And I'm like, I don't know what the thread is, right? It can seem random. But then it's when there. I look back, I'm like, oh, it's there, right? And so for me, a couple of threads have emerged. One is relationship. I've always been fascinated by the study of relationship and connection and what brings people together and how do we stay together. I joke my parents were divorced when I was little and it's part trauma, part curiosity, but I studied that in university. And in all of my personal life, I was studying relationship, men-women dynamics, masculine, feminine. And at the same time, I've been curious about this thread of leadership. So what kind of models of leadership do we need as the world is rapidly changing?
I love it.
And those were my 2 tracks in college. Didn't know how to make a living on the relationship one, so I went for the leadership one. Became a leadership consultant to Fortune 500 companies and worked with teams and leaders. But in the meantime, kept exploring partnership, secret sexuality, intimacy. And then at some point, I just felt like these conversations around relationships were so deep and rich. And they were part of the big questions I wanted to ask. It's like, why are you here?
Amazing.
How do we come together? What's the world that we want to build together? And what's each of our unique roles in building that world? And I found the companies I was working with, they didn't necessarily want to go there, right? They wanted to figure out strategy and profitability. And so I left the corporate world, started my own life coaching business, and then moved to Bali because that's the hub of Eat, Pray, Love, personal transformation, deep dives, reset.
Right.
Yeah. So then I lived in Bali for 7 years, met my husband. He was also doing masculine, feminine work, leading yoga teacher trainings. And then we started working together as well, doing women's retreats, men's retreats, couples retreats.
That's such
all of that.
Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. So I would say we did a real deep dive in Bali on personal transformation. Yeah. And then for me, I'm at another reset coming back. We're coming back to California, Santa Cruz. And a lot of my curiosity is like, how do you take the inner transformation and create outer change in the systems and structures we live in? And particularly around the climate crisis. That's the emerging part of me that's coming through.
I hear you. What a big, to go from consulting with these corporate environments to jump to Bali to do the work that you did there. What was the point where you knew that you had to make the shift? Was there a catalyst for that?
Yeah, I think so much of my personal growth journey has been like tuning in really deeply to my body and my intuition and noticing where's the pulse of aliveness, right? Like where is the desire? I call it Eros, but it's that the life force moving through. And I believe that is our sacred guidance. So at the time, I was living just north of San Francisco. I had quit my consulting job.
Yep.
I was living on a retreat center helping with corporate training, still in a different way. And it just, I felt like itchy in my skin. Yeah. Like maybe you've had that feeling, like a snake that's about to like shed it. And everything didn't feel quite right. Mm-hmm. Like I felt itchy. So I sat and I meditated every morning. And I thought, all right, God, spirit, universe, mm-hmm. intuition, where are you calling me now?
Yeah.
And every time I did that, I saw an image of Bali in my mind. I've never been
to Bali. I was
going
to ask if you'd ever been.
I don't know anyone that lives in Bali.
So no.
No. I just saw what I imagined Bali looked like. And I got goosebumps and I got tears in my eyes. And I felt the full body chills of, wow, there's something really deep here and really true. And so I trust it. Even when it doesn't make sense, I trust it. And that's so much of my work, just helping women trust the impulse, even when it doesn't make logical sense.
Yeah. I love that you felt the call and you listened to the call. And a lot of us, I think, that have more years on our calendars, hear lots of calls and don't heed them. We don't follow our intuition. Why do you think women, and maybe especially mothers, why do they struggle to trust their intuition and even their desires?
Oh, such a good question. I think there's a number of layers. One is cultural conditioning. Mm-hmm. Do you think about from the time we're little girls, right? We're taught to do what your parents said, follow the rules, follow authority over listening to what is naturally our desire that's mm-hmm. rising, right? Stand in line, don't run on the playground, even if you want to. And so it starts from this young age of listen to others, do what you should, do what's expected rather than what you mm-hmm. want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we get older, there's just layers and layers. And I think especially for mothers, there's an extra layer of be selfless, be generous.
Yes.
Now you have these children. You need to devote yourself wholly to this
yes.
child. And so I think desire always feels selfish for women, right? Mm-hmm. Doing something for yourself, I think for women across the board will feel selfish. But for mothers, I think there's this extra layer. Don't abandon your kids. They need you.
Yeah.
So I think moms in particular struggle with a lot of guilt.
I'm in those conversations.
To their desire
and
intuition.
Absolutely. And it, guilt. Guilt is a good word.
Yeah. Yeah. Guilt, I think, is that moment when your desire runs contrary to your conditioning.
Oh, say that again.
Guilt moment. Is the moment when your desire runs contrary to your conditioning.
That's powerful.
Your conditioning. Yeah.
It really is. Because what I see with many women that I'm in community with is that guilt of the expectations put on them compared to what is pulling them, and they face tough choices. And often
yeah.
the intuition has to get more and more fervent. What is pulling them has to be unignorable. Is that a word? I think I just made it up.
Yeah, no, I love that. Unignorable.
Now, yeah.
I think that's one other aspect about why it's hard for women to follow their intuition. It's because a lot of women are disconnected from their bodies.
Yes.
So when you're in your mind is making pros, cons, this, shoulds, expectations.
You're there, huh?
That's not the language of intuition, right? You're up here. Your intuition is down here. Mm-hmm. You can't see me, but I'm touching my body. And it's in your gut. It's in your heart. It's in your pelvis. And if you're disconnected from your body, it's hard to hear that quiet. And it is quiet. Quieter voice of your intuition.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I don't have children, but I might have to come Thursday night just to understand.
Right? I'd love to see
getting in touch with your intuition and learning to hear that voice, allowing yourself to know that's a calling. I think it's something that, at least for me, I've had to be in practice about, because it wasn't natural, because there were always the list in my head and the competing responsibilities for time. And I think for us to learn to hear those calls and follow our intuition is powerful for us to live our best lives.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the path to living a life that feels most like yourself.
It's interesting to me. You wrote a book that's been a bestseller, Eros. Oh shoot, I've got to hear my notes. Eros, the journey
Eros,
home.
The journey home.
But you wrote that before children. And in fact, as I recall, you you published it a month before your first child was born. So
yes,
talk about a passion and a calling, right? To have done that at a time when many women who are a month before their first child are just trying to get the crib together, right? And you published a book, your first book.
Well,
what drove you to publish the book at such a close time as so many other priorities were happening in your life? What made the book compelling to do then?
Yeah, I will say, I never made a crib. we barely had
a nursery. That's awesome.
Yeah, newborn babies, they need so little.
Yes.
But I think what drove me to it is I could feel my life was at a precipice.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, in a month, I was going to birth this baby. Yep. I was going to become a mom. Everything that I knew was about to change. And at the same time, I had all this learning and wisdom and experience from my maiden years that I wanted to have a chance to document, to share.
I see.
To kind of encapsulate that phase.
Yeah.
And that felt really important. And I knew that, okay, I'm going to learn so much more through the journey into motherhood.
Yes.
But there's important wisdom so far that I want to capture.
If I can say it my way, you valued what you had done and the things you had learned. And you knew that having a child would shift your priorities yet again, right? And you were compelled to get all that beautiful information out of your head and out of your heart and into something shareable with others.
Yeah.
So that is beautiful.
And I also knew, thank you. I also knew the book was based on a group program I had been running, that I was going to go offline and dive into motherhood for a while.
Yes.
And so I wanted my teachings to still be able to impact and help women, even while I wouldn't be directly teaching for a little while.
Yeah. You've used the term Eros both with your book and with your podcast. And I suspect in a lot of your trainings that you've constructed and delivered. And I think that your sense of that word is deeper. It's not just about eroticism or romantic love, that I just have this intuition of my own that you see it as something much more deep about the self. But can you help share with us, for other people who may have that limited definition that I might have had coming into this conversation, what does Eros mean for you as it relates to your practice that others might get a more expanded definition?
Yeah, great question. Okay. I know when people often hear Eros, they think, okay, so the erotic, sexuality, what's the big deal, right? Sexuality. And I think it's because we look at sexuality like it's this cherry on top, kind of a side dish to the main course of life.
It is lunchtime, so we're thinking about food, but
right. I'm a little hungry. The erotic is the side dish to this main course. But the way I see it is actually we're born from the erotic, right? That is the fundamental life force moving through us.
Yes.
Is to connect, to create, to birth new realities or humans or creation. And so I don't think it's a side dish at all. I think it's actually the main course. And by that, I mean, I think it's this divine energy that moves through us, that inspires us, that guides us, that is deeply rooted in the body and in our sensations and in our pleasure, but is so much bigger than just a thing on the side, right? I think it's feminine wisdom. I call it the feminine soul in a lot of places. Like, I think the feminine embodied soul, creative life force, might be my expanded definition of Eros.
Right.
And like, it's one of those things, it's hard to put words on, but you know when it's there, right?
Yes.
You can just see a woman, if she's like really connected to her Eros, like she's lit up and like her face glows and her life has this kind of magical quality for someone that's not connected. If they're shut down or they're doing what they should or they're disconnected from their body, there's like a muted gray and white tone to her reality. So Eros is the thing that brings the color.
I love it. Now, you talk about feminine energy, but something that I think is interesting and lovely, you are very pro-husband. You are very pro-husband. You've said remarkable things about him online. And so many men that I speak with are, frankly, a little intimidated by the thoughts of the feminine divine, by the by conversations that they think women are going off into a coffee shop together to talk about feminine energy. And they're like, oh, it's overpowering. It's a little intimidating for them. Yet your public persona is very much about the power of you and your husband together.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful to see that modeled for others. So you speak about the balance between masculine and feminine energy.
Mm-hmm.
What role does that energy play in relationships, and especially intimate relationships, as kids come in, as children come into the picture to interrupt that space? And I shouldn't say interrupt, but I don't have children, so I see it as,
you know. No, interrupt can be a right word.
Okay, thank you. I thought that's probably not positive, but it's a disruption.
Our children are born from the erotic, but can also really interrupt it.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think zooming out, like if you look at nature, you need the masculine and the feminine aspect of a flower to make a fruit, to make a plant.
Okay, great example. And yes.
Yeah, right. It's not, the flower and just her feminine aspect is so powerful. It's without either of us, we're neither. Mm-hmm. We can't move forward and create. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true inside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we all have masculine, feminine energy inside
Absolutely.
Of us, regardless of our gender or agender. Yep. But then you can also have it between people. Like, I think the way my husband and I teach this to couples is like masculine, feminine energy is a spectrum on a scale of a piano. Right. You can have like very feminine note, very masculine note. And to be a whole healthy human, you got to be able to play the whole spectrum. Right. If you want to be a great pianist, you want to use every key.
I love it.
Right. But then when you come into intimate union, if you want the moment to feel erotic, it really helps if one person's playing one end of the keyboard and the other's playing the other. Right. He's got the polarity of someone in the more masculine energy, someone's more feminine. And it doesn't mean woman has to be feminine, men has to be masculine. You can switch, but it really does help if you are in very different energies because opposites attract.
Yes. Yeah.
So my husband and I teach polarity because this is actually a skill. It's an energetic skill to be agile and move between masculine and feminine so that you can feel that spark of chemistry when you want to. And it's not a thing that just, for a lot of people, chemistry just happens to them, right? You feel it the first date. You feel it when you fall in love. But then a couple of years go down, you're like, oh, who are you?
Yeah.
But it can be a skill that you two can cultivate.
I can't wait to meet your husband. I'm sure. And to see the two of you. Is he part of the session on Thursday or...
No, he'll be with the kids.
Oh,
maybe
that's
he'll
right.
stop
that's...
by and say hi as
yes,
you come.
Fine.
But he's on babysitting duty while I'm doing mama circle.
I think there's something powerful about those two energies working well together. And you're right. When you were talking, visually I was seeing a piano duet with two people playing both. Mm-hmm. There are some amazing history moments where two people have gotten so much music out of one instrument. And so I'm really seeing what you're talking about in terms of the way you have framed things with him, because I think it does take work and skill, to your point, to understand how to blend both elements into both of your lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And for me, it's funny you say I'm pro husband. I think there's so many gifts of men that we have neglected. And I think a lot of men feel that.
Oh, they do.
Right. There's been a lot of criticism of men
because
we haven't had balanced masculine feminine energy. It's been very toxic masculinity dominated. And I think a lot of men feel personally criticized. But there's so much beauty in men. I love men. The generosity of their heart, that they want to serve, that they're so practical in the way that their minds think. Mm-hmm. They're so strong.
Yes.
And a lot of my love of men actually has come from Alison Armstrong. You haven't read any of her work. It changed my life completely.
Tell me more. What's her thesis that she operates from?
She started researching men, I think 40 years ago. And she thought, men are pretty simple. This won't take me long.
Yeah, and I could see the simple thing. In some ways that we talk about when women have private coffee, men are very simple. Some of their needs are very clear, simple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true.
But she found.
But she's still researching 40 years later, and she's realizing that, wow, there's a lot to men and a lot of beauty and mm-hmm. gifts that we haven't been able to see. And as women, we haven't been able to nurture. And like, I think our job as women is to really reflect our own genius. But when it comes to partnership, it's like, you know, to look at our partner and be like, I really see what's brilliant about you. And I appreciate it. And I love it.
And I appreciate that she's done the research on it. I'm an author. You're an author. And I think what we give to people is a gift of thought. Everyone can't think everything. And when we research like Allison has and we present ideas and concepts, it helps other people grow. So it really is something that you give back into the world to help them see things differently. Mm-hmm. And she's committed to that work. And that's pretty remarkable. And so have you. So
absolutely.
So the work that you're doing, you've been doing these retreats in Bali, you've written a book, you've got a podcast with tons of episodes, a lot of great content, and you coach people. But right now you're working toward a free workshop in Los Gatos on Thursday night called the Mama Circle. It sounds like so much fun. What inspired you to pull that together? It's clear where you are in life. You've got two children, a beautiful marriage. But what do you hope women will walk away with by coming to join you on Thursday night?
Great question. Yeah, I did a Mama Circle a couple weeks ago, and I got this message from a woman.
In Bali or
in Santa Cruz? No, in Santa
Cruz. Very good.
I'm also doing them in
Santa Cruz. I was not aware you had already done one, so that's cool. Great.
Yeah, I have a few on. There's one tomorrow, actually, in Santa Cruz, and one next week. But she said, I feel so much lighter. She said, I came in feeling tense and like kind of burdened by the weight of motherhood and the responsibility. Yep. And I left, and she shared really beautifully and opened up about her story. Like, I feel so much lighter and more connected to community. And I am so looking forward to seeing these women again. And I just thought, that is why I've created these. Because I think all women have so many beautiful stories inside of them that need to be witnessed and seen. And they need connection and community. Yeah. I don't know a single mama that feels like her community bucket is totally full. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. I feel like there's so many of us that are like, I'd love more community. I'd love more connection. And so that's why I started these circles. It's because I want women to feel seen, witnessed, honored, celebrated in their stories.
All those things.
And to connect with other women. And I want it too. I'm new to the area and I can't wait to get to know more mamas here and more women.
Now, I think one of the things, this goes back to our discussion on the word Eros. I think it might be a little intimidating for some people simply because they don't know what's going to happen. They don't really know. So if you were saying, come visit with me, come join my tribe, what is this circle? What can someone who drops in on Thursday expect?
Ooh, great question. You can expect a warm, welcoming environment.
Of that I have
friendly people.
Yeah.
Great food. We're going to have some snacks as well on Thursday. And the way I structure it is we check in, we say, how are you feeling right now? And then each woman has 3 minutes to share. And I time that. And so you can share about highs, lows, struggles, whatever. No advice. There's plenty of advice out there. There's not a space for that. It's just a space to be seen and supported. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I open up for micro coaching. So if there's one mama that really has a spot she wants some coaching around, I'll work with her for about 10 minutes. And then the other women can jump in and add any reflections or celebrate anything beautiful that they saw and that woman share. And that's totally voluntary.
Yeah, of course.
Nobody has to be coached. But it is so powerful because what the women will see is like their story is reflected in her story.
Yeah. Right?
And there's so many overlaps and parallels. So I love that little deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
And then we close up and we talk about what we got from the circle and what we're moving into the week with.
Yeah. The power in that circle is everyone feeling seen. For me, what I see and what you've described is, you know, when we stand as these pillars of strength alone, it's easy to it's easy to believe that you're the only one who is managing these things. But being in that kind of circle, such an appropriate name, you're able to see that other people are wrestling with the same life issues, the same chaos, the same desires to build more, and not feeling so alone when you see it in other people is powerful.
Oh, true. Yeah, I think about a redwood circle.
Oh,
right? These trees grow in a circle.
I sat.
And you think of this individual tree, right?
Yeah.
But they're not under the ground. They're all connected.
No, they're
holding each other up and sharing nature. And I'm like, that's the analogy for this mammoth circle, right? Under the ground, all connected, sharing nutrients.
I love
holding each other up.
The cathedral tree example.
Are they amazing?
They are. I sat in one and meditated about 6 or 7 months ago, a couple hours north of Bodega Bay. And it was just a remarkable. All my friends were off climbing the mountain. I was like, I'm fine. I'm here. When y'all come halfway back down, pick me up on this. It was a fire road that I found the tree on. But that tree is a beautiful metaphor. It's a real physical thing that occurs in nature. When sequoias burn out and then they drop their cones and then they build, they grow up in a circle. And at some point they get damaged by fire or whatever. I think that's typically what creates the trees falling in place like they do and creating this crown that you can sit in. I climbed like 12 feet up and it was beautiful.
Cool.
Yeah, but talking about how they are one organism and they are one organism. They are all connected at the foundations is a powerful thing for people to recognize. So,
right.
Yeah, I love it.
Right. I think a lot of people can sometimes feel like a solitary tree out there trying to raise their family or do their business. But to come back to feeling that underground connection between us, I think is life changing.
100%. I imagine that whether it's your private coaching or your group-based leadership that you do, I imagine that you've had some remarkable experiences where people have had major either aha moments or moving responses. So I'm curious, what are some of the things that people tend to come away with after they've spent time with you and others?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of my favorite things, and see, my job's not here to give advice.
Of course.
Right?
You're a true coach
really
because
knows.
You know that. Yeah.
Thank you. Sometimes I like you giving advice, but my deeper role is to help women remember themselves.
Yep. Oh, so I had a to help women remember themselves. I've interrupted you, but that's really important to help women remember themselves. That's beautiful. Keep going.
Right. And to remember their own wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I had a coaching session the other day and she was a mama and she was worn out. She had her first baby and she just had felt so dry and disconnected from her sensuality. Mm-hmm. And I guided her through some different exercises to get connected. And she said, I feel like for the first time since having this baby a year and a half ago, I remembered who I was before motherhood.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like I feel like that kind of sexy, carefree maiden side of me that I really thought had been lost. She hadn't been lost. She had been waiting for your invitation.
Yeah.
Right. And for the right container to emerge.
Yes.
But that's just one example. But that's what I love helping women reconnect in is like lost parts of themselves. Mm-hmm. And let's bring it on home so that you have access to all these pieces of you.
100%. Beautiful. I love it. I'm sure there are people who will hear this on KPCR 92.9 Los Gatos. I'm sure there are people that will hear this and wish they could go on Thursday night, but can't make it. So if there are people out there who want to start that journey, do you have, we just said you didn't give advice, but do you have any advice? That's just the word I have on what is a practice that they could start now in their lives to enrich where they want to go and then find your next mama circle to join?
That is such a good question and a big one because it's so individual.
It is. It's
I would definitely say check out my book, too, because
that's
you can
clear.
Look at, I have Eros, the Journey Home or Eros Mama, but if you're looking at Eros, the Journey Home, I would say just open the book and skim through the chapters and look at which one is really speaking to me, right? Am I feeling emotionally stuck? Okay, here's a practice. Do I want to reconnect with my desire? Here's a practice. Do I want to reconnect with my partner? Here's a practice. So I would have them look at the book and then almost read it like this menu where they can choose their own practice off the menu.
That's great advice. And I'm going to say this. You're not trying to sell your book because people like you and me, I'm just doing this for everybody else. People that write books that aren't like Brené Brown, we admire Brené Brown. But you and I aren't Brené Brown. What we wrote is a gift to others to, as we talked about earlier, to get those thoughts that you've developed and curated through experience onto paper. So yeah, I've had people say, oh, you're trying to sell your book. And it's no, not really. I've not made a profit on
it's not a
my
big
book.
Money maker.
No, not at all. But it is a calling card for what's important to us, what matters to us in leadership and in life. And it's us sharing with the world something really material. So I think it's great that your example of if I can't get to Thursday night, what could I do to get started? There's a whole repository of ideas and suggestions in your book. Mm-hmm. So for $21.99 or whatever, I don't remember from I looked, and it's on Amazon, and we'll put it in the show notes, both of them. But it's a really great way to have something tangible, physical. That's what I love about books, that people can go to and say, I choose. And I like the way you said it's a menu. I'll choose this with that and that. Those are the things that are important to me now.
Absolutely. Because I don't know whoever's listening to this, what you're really needing or wanting or craving. But there's a whole menu of meditations and movement exercises.
I love it.
Things to try.
And things that I know from the comments on both your book and your podcast, people get personally attached to the things that you share. And they've complimented that wisdom and what that wisdom has done in their lives. So you have remarkable feedback on what you've offered to the world.
And thank you.
So I think it'll be remarkable for people to have something like that. That's a tool for them to use.
Yeah. I hope it's useful. Yeah. When I publish a book, it's like sending out this love letter to the world. I hope it gets in the hands of the women who will benefit.
It has. And you know that already, right? From the reviews. So I love it. So for the women who are able to come on Thursday night, I'll just say, because I've got it written here, Thursday night in Los Gatos from 5 to 6:30 at L'Atelier. And that's at 59 North Santa Cruz in Suite B. You can RSVP if there's still space. You can RSVP to Shirley.Julian. That's Shirley, S-H-I-R-L-E-Y dot Julian, J-U-L-I-A-N, at L'AtelierLosGatos.com. And we will put this in the show notes. That's L-A-T-E-L-I-E-R. Los Gatos, LOSGATOS.com. And if you RSVP by email to Shirley, I don't think it's filled yet, but I'm assuming RSVP with Shirley. Really? That event on Thursday, what's your big hope happens on Thursday night with the women who are able to join you for conversation?
I hope that we, first of all, have a lot of fun. A lot of laughter, a lot of joy.
I feel like that's going to happen.
Yeah. I think so too. And that your heart cracks open. A little bit. That you leave feeling a little more connected to your heart, a little more connected to your sensuality, your body, and trust in yourself. Yeah. And maybe with a few new friends.
That's beautiful. All of it. I'm letting it sink in because I might just have to show up as the only woman there without a child.
You know what? I would love for you to shop because also I'm sure you're mothering all kinds of things. This podcast, your book, your community.
So you are also a mother. I am blessed. I get cards and I get flowers and I get calls and texts every Mother's Day. And so from different people. And I have some people that are really close in my life and that they see that in me and in how I hold community with others. And I think it's an important distinction There are more and more women who are electing to not have children, who or just haven't been in a position where it made sense to have children. But I think that maternal aspect has a lot of different, that spectrum that you mentioned. I think that spectrum is really important for all of us.
Absolutely.
We have ways to contribute.
Huge ways to contribute and mother different aspects of the world.
Yeah. And I guess this is a rant for me. We'll see if it goes into the final, what's left. But I think that people limit themselves and they shouldn't. They limit themselves by definitions. Oh, I don't have children. I'm not a mother. And you stepped immediately into, oh, but you do mother some things that I see. I think people shouldn't adhere so stringently to common definitions when they feel something calling them, right?
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that you see those things. And it's just a much more inclusive world than some people. Some people choose to see like the boundaries. Other people choose to see the intersections.
Well, and I think you have beautiful mothering energy and lots of amazing projects. And I think there's so many different ways to mother for all of us, right? You could be a stepmother. You could be an adopted mother. You could be a favorite auntie to a friend's kid.
Absolutely.
You could have a book baby.
Yes.
And I think these are all amazing expressions of the maternal instinct.
And of the divine feminine, right?
Yeah.
I love it. This has been so much fun. How do people follow you, watch you in the healthy way? What's the way that they can engage with your content? We've talked about the book. We'll put that in the show notes. How else do you think are the best ways? I didn't realize you'd done already a couple of these mama circles. So how can people watch for that and get involved?
Probably the best way would be on my Instagram.
Perfect.
So it's at Megan D. Lambert, yes. MeganDLambert.
Beautiful.
That's probably the best way. That's the most current one.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a website if you want to do some deep dives into the archives, which is just www.megandlambert.com.
Good. Beautiful. And the podcast, you had a lot of episodes. I think there's a lot of this information doesn't necessarily age. It's not information that's only relevant in real time. So I would also encourage people to take a look at some really targeted discussions you've had over the years as a way to hear more of this, more of your wisdom, your experience. So we'll put all those contact points in the show notes for this so that people can get to that for you.
Good. Oh, thank you. Yeah, good.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. And I've really loved our conversation. So thank you.
You are remarkable. And I can't wait to see you at some point. Maybe Thursday night would be nice. And this has been great. And this has been Megan Lambert, Mama's Circle founder, author, speaker, and a woman of wisdom putting wonderful things out into the world. We've been here on 92.9 FM, Los Gatos for NorCal Narratives. I'm Tanya Long, signing off with Megan Lambert. And we hope that today has been valuable for you as you draw wisdom and encouragement to move into your highest and best calling. Thanks, everyone. Megan, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.